On the phone with us right now, Council President Lisa Rasmussen. The big issue talked about today, mobile food carts in and about the city of Wausau. And you know, there's people that love the idea and people that don't. And it looks like the council has a challenge of how to do this without really, say, putting the brick-and-mortar establishments at a disadvantage. How did the discussion go?
Well, the discussion actually went very well, and it was surprisingly productive because the task force that was appointed was able to find that middle ground and that balance, or at least what we believe is our final product, in three meeting sessions. So the committee included members of brick-and-mortar restaurants. It included event planners. It included Main Street Wausau. It included food vendors, a couple of alderpersons. And together, we were able to hash out what we think is really going to be a plan that both sides can work within and still allow vendors to be vendors.
What are the basic details of the tentative plan?
Right now, we're looking at what amounts to be a hybrid plan where vendors could apply to either, depending on what they sell, they can apply for a fixed base model where they're not mobile. They're in the same spot all the time where people know where to find them and where they can advertise themselves. Or they can apply for a mobile roaming model where they're in a different spot all the time and they're able to meander about. And the policy that we have rolled out would apply citywide, not just to the downtown River District. So the roaming vendors would have basically a citywide marketplace with which they could operate.
So if they had a roaming license, they might be down in the 400 block one day. They might be at Oak Island the next. You never know.
That's true. And, you know, during events, I mean, just as an example, when the Gus Macker event is going on Wausau Avenue down by Wausau West, they may be down there. So we figured we'd allow them a whole bunch of flexibility to operate in their mobile setting, which is true to their business model. And yet knowing that some vendors, because now we are going to permit food and non-food items to be sold, some products being sold are not conducive to mobility, and some vendors may want that fixed location, and we would make that option available as well.
What's an example of that?
Well, like a flower cart, perhaps, or maybe you'd have a jewelry maker. You may have someone that sells basically other handmade items that are not necessarily edible. And if their cart is designed such that they would like a set spot or they would like the predictability of their client base knowing where to find them on a continuous basis, they may apply for that fixed model. But if they want the ability to roam and find those best spots and, you know, seek out their client base through a roaming model, that would be also available.
When this ad hoc committee got together, what were the big issues first brought to the table?
The first day, we worked through all of the issues that were non-contentious, and we were surprised how many issues, really, we were able to obtain agreement on as far as the hours of operation and, you know, whether or not utility services would be provided and, you know, a dozen other things that really were not what I would call hot-button issues. But on day two, the big points came to bear, and the number one was to roam or not to roam. Would you allow the vendors mobility or not? And the task force was actually tied 4-4 on whether or not they should roam or stay still. And to find that true middle, that compromise where both parties are amenable to it, that's where we came to the hybrid model that allows both types of business model to operate. The other issue of concern, there was some concern as far as the territory. Do we go citywide? Do we manage it strictly downtown? Vendors expressed a desire to operate citywide and to not have a separate set of rules to follow within the downtown. There was a couple of other contentious issues. How many licenses to start with? Do you start with 10, 20, 50? Do you set no limit at all just to see what the interest is? And the committee figured that 10 was too few because we were going to allow them all over, but that, you know, unlimited was perhaps too many to manage, at least at the infancy of the program. So the task force settled on a starting limit of 20.
Sounds like the task force would like to review this after a year or two of trying it out.
Yes, and that is what's going to happen. In 2014, after we've had one full year of operation under the current program, we will reconvene the task force and take a look at what works and what needs tweaking. And if there's anything that needs to be resolved or needs to be ironed out, we certainly would have that option. And that, I think, was where it was easier to find consensus within the task force because it is something that can be amended. Nothing is etched in stone. So as we start to roll out the program, if we find that there are issues where, you know, we either have way more demand for vendors than we have space to supply, which at this point we only have two vendors, so that's not become an issue, or if it gets to a situation where we have, you know, vendors that are conflicted over, you know, who operates in which space and whatever, or if we have issues from, you know, local business where they have concerns, We think that we will be able to address those situations that way. One way that we were able to address some of the concerns of the brick-and-mortar establishments is the new proposed ordinance would allow for a 75-foot buffer zone from the front of an established business when that business is open. And that really was the source of many complaints when our first two food vendors began, was that there were some brick-and-mortars that were very concerned about where they were operating as far as proximity to their entrances. So this would allow us to work through that as well.
Is that 75-foot buffer zone, is that for all things food or all products, or is that just for products that compete with that business?
For products that compete with one another. Food products would have a buffer zone from other food establishments, and that was mainly to address those concerns as far as downtown. Downtown is really a condensed space. And, you know, between the sidewalk, the planters, the closeness of businesses to one another, the space in which all of these things need to operate is fairly tight. And even the vendors were able to agree on some buffer zone being applicable.
So the 75-foot buffer zone means that if you are a portable vendor, if you're selling hot dogs, you still mm-hmm. cannot set up 75 feet from a spaghetti shop or something like that.
Right, from a similar product. And so what we did was we had a map today that basically we used the downtown as an example because it was one of the tightest areas that we have to manage. And so we mapped out where each of those establishments are, assuming that we were looking at food carts and food trucks, and what a circle, what a 75-foot buffer zone would look like surrounding each one of those. With the way the restaurants are laid out downtown currently, a large portion of 3rd Street falls within that buffer zone. So there is some management to be done, you know, vendors with other vendors and vendors with brick-and-mortar restaurants as far as where it's appropriate to operate.
Are the food cart operators also supposed to say 75 feet from each other?
20 feet from each other. They actually set that rule. When we asked vendors, how far apart would you like to be from another vendor? You know, do you want them right next to you? And both of the vendors on the task force agreed that 20 feet was sufficient.
So let's say a new vendor comes around and wants to apply for the proper licensing or inspections. What do they have to do to start?
Well, there will be an application process, assuming that the proposed ordinance passes the two committees that are considering it. The Economic Development Committee is going to consider it Thursday night in their meeting, and we're going to have a special session of Public Health and Safety to take a look at it because it was not ready last night when that committee met. Assuming it goes through to council, there will be an application process. The proposed ordinance allows for two distinct license periods, one from April to October and another from October to April. So if you are a vendor that is interested in only operating during the spring and summer months, you can apply for a partial year. Or if you're only interested in winter, you can apply for that portion of the year. Because when this concept first came out, we did have some vendors who were interested in operating only when the ice rink was up around the 400 block, whereby they could sell hot chocolate and soups and things. So if a vendor does not want to operate 12 months of the year, they would not have to.
As far as health inspections like a restaurant would go through, that's not going to be the city's responsibility, is it? Will that be the county?
Our ordinance does require that they comply with all health licensing and health inspection requirements. So they would have to obtain licensing and get clearance from the health department to operate. But it's not something that we would directly manage. The health department would manage that with those vendors. The two vendors we have already cleared that process.
So looking ahead, it looks like this may go through two committees and then get to council. Do you think it'll see council by next month?
Yeah, I believe so. It's coming as a joint resolution because there's two facets by which it needs to be looked at. Public health and safety looks at it in terms of safety, sidewalk obstruction, and the flow of the public right-of-way. But economic development looks at it in terms of how it dovetails with other commerce in the downtown and how it fits with, you know, our business plans and our targeted vision for many areas. So those two committees would look at it with two different sets of eyes. But when it comes to council, it will have been vetted by both of them.
Anything you'd like to add on that topic today?
It's actually been a long road, considering that the proposed ordinance is version 3 of the ordinance. Hopefully this one represents a fair balance and a middle ground between all involved, which, you know, there was some concern as far as how the original ordinance was crafted, and implementing the task force really did remove a lot of those concerns. Even the task force members felt that there was balance and there was a middle ground that was located on a number of issues that we figured would be very contentious.
City Council President Lisa Rasmussen, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks, Larry.